Let's start with a quote from Jung. Jung put the psyche in an intermediate place, which has always interested me. He says, the underlying idea of the psyche proves it to be a half-bodily, half-spiritual substance, an anima media natura, as the alchemists called it, an hermaphroditic being capable of uniting the opposites, but who is never complete in the individual unless related to another individual. The unrelated human being lacks wholeness, for he can achieve wholeness only through the soul, and the soul cannot exist without its other side, which is always found in a you. Wholeness is a combination of I and you, and these show themselves to be parts of a transcendent unity whose nature can only be grasped symbolically, as in the symbols of the rotundum, the rose, the wheel, or the conjunctio solis et lunae, the sun and the moon. Now that goes together with a... Yes? That's Collected Works 16, paragraph 454. That goes together with a comment that Jung made in a letter to James Kirsch. Kirsch had written him and was wondering why all of his patients seemed to be constantly dreaming about him, or in some disguised form, about him. And he was puzzled about this and wrote Jung as to whether or not this was could possibly be in fact the case, or whether somehow he stood for something far different, maybe the inner analyst or something. And Jung wrote him back and said, it's perfectly true that your patient is dreaming about you. In the deepest sense, we all dream not out of what lies in ourselves, but what lies between us and the other. In the deepest sense. It's a very puzzling, highly interpersonal statement of Jung's. Here's the depth psychologist who has taken us into all the interstices of the archetypal psyche, saying that we dream out of the space, the potential space that lies between us and the other. Well, now, how are we to make sense out of this? I think Jung had a sensitivity to this intermediate realm which went far beyond other analysts of his time, and really was kind of precursor to the self-psychological investigations that have occurred more recently under Kohut's aegis. Jung was very aware that when two people come together, a field of unconsciousness is constellated, which constellates the image of the anthropos, or the wholeness, where one person serves psychologically as a function of psyche for the other. Now, presumably the analyst carries more of the psyche because of the analyst's anonymity and differentiation. But inevitably, an unconscious field, a matrix, is constellated. And this matrix is highly evocative of dreams and fantasy material because it intermingles two worlds. And this is where I started the discussion last night. The two worlds of imagination and reality. I started off my lecture last night in an effort to sort of call attention to these two worlds, and we'll be doing that again today, so let me say a little bit about what I want to describe as these two worlds. On the one hand, and these two worlds really define the human condition in some profound way. On the one hand, we have the mundus imaginalis, the world of the imagination. This is the magical world of childhood, the archetypal transcendent world full of transpersonal energies and images, the inner world with its endless possibilities and limitless secret offerings. It's timeless, it's limitless, sacred, it's full of transformations, fusions, synchronous connections, powerful affects, It's the world of divine potencies where wholeness is possible. It's the world of the self. On the other hand, we have mundus realitas, the world of mundane reality. This is the world of embodied reality, bound by time, space, history, and limitation. It's the world of the body, the world of profane time and profane space, the given factual world, the outer world, the historical world. This world is in itself unredeemed and corporeal, bound by death, by routine, by familiarity, by the ordinary. This is the veil of Maya we all fall into.